our series that we started 5 weeks ago called Pathways to Health. Pathways to Health. We're talking about principles that bring us into spiritual well-being, not only spirit, soul, and body. You know, if we're going to be effective for God's kingdom, we need to be healthy in our hearts. We need to have healthy minds, healthy spirits, healthy souls, healthy bodies, and especially the first two, spirit and soul. But there are so many Christians that are so bound up. They're not healthy. Their lives are not healthy. And we want to discover these pathways to health. And a pathway is a principle. And we've been talking about principles the last few weeks on how to become spiritually fit, how to become mentally and emotionally whole and well. Our job as the church and as individuals is to bring glory to our Creator. We were designed by Him for Him. And He didn't make us, put the potential in us for us not to become what we're supposed to be. In fact, the scripture says that He who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. And we need to allow Him. And all we have to learn how to do is cooperate with what He wants to do. It's amazing how much easier we can make it if we'll just learn how to cooperate with what He wants to do. But we have a tendency to want to be in control. And the first principle that we talked about is there is a God and I'm not Him. And that's so true. You say, well, you know, as a believer, I believe that. Yeah, but sometimes we believe there's a God, but we want to maintain control of our lives. And the paradox that we talked about was the way to gain control is to surrender control. See, when you try to control your life and when you try to be in charge, we have a tendency to make the wrong choices. We don't manage well because basically at the heart, we're pretty selfish. Isn't that true? We're just pretty selfish. We're self-focused and we put our needs and many times we get caught. It's easy for us to get caught up in routines and we just, you know, get in a rut. You know what a rut is? It's a grave with the ends knocked out. That's all a rut is. And you know, we're supposed to be alive, but we're dead. We're dead. We're mentally and emotionally dead. We have been deadened by the system that we live in. But see, we have to, even as believers, we have to know that there is a God and I'm not Him and I don't need to be in control of my life. But if I want to gain control of my life, I have to give that control to God. Otherwise, I will lose control of my life. And one reason that many people struggle with that brings us to the second principle is they don't really know how God feels about them. They think that God's mad at them, that God's out to get them. But what we need to realize is that there is a God. He cares about me and He wants to help me. That's the second principle. There is a God. He cares about me and He's willing to help me. That gives me hope. So that brings us to what we call the faith principle, is that I consciously and on purpose turn my will and life over to Jesus. Now you say, you're telling us how to be saved. I understand that. But I'm also telling you as a believer what you need to learn to surrender every day of your life. It doesn't hurt me to say, Jesus, I know You're my Lord and my Savior, but I want You to be that in my life today. I give You that today in my life. Because we have a tendency to give control and then we take it back. Because we're kind of like Ford sometimes. We think that we have a better ideal. And we don't. God's got the good ideal because He has the eternal perspective on things. We're short-sighted. And the only way to get long-sighted is start to see the way that God sees things. And that's very much a challenge to us as believers who are trying to grow in Christ. The next step to as we turn our lives over to Him, the next step that we need to take, the next principle that we need to learn about is getting real. Learning to get real. And we have to get real with ourselves, and we have to get real with God, and then we have to get real with other people. So that requires me to do an examination of my life. I need to look at my motives. I need to look at my heart. I need to honestly, and you have to be honest with yourself first. If you're not honest with yourself, you'll never be honest with God, and you won't be honest with other people. See, most of the time, people see through your dishonesty. You just don't realize it. You think that you're covering this up. But there are people who see through the facade. We see Christians that wear masks and facades. See, we need to be willing to take our mask off. And that starts with an examination of our own heart. We, in communion a while ago, we gave you a moment of reflection. Every day in your life should be a reflection of who you are, where you are. At the end of your day, you ought to ask yourselves, okay, here is my purpose in life. Did the majority of what I did today go towards my purpose, or did I just waste my day? And we have to be willing to make some changes in our lives. And change is a word that we do not like, do we? We just don't like to change. I mean, most of you sit in the same seat every Sunday. Did you know that? I can look back and I know where my mom's at. I can find her real easy in the crowd because she sits in that same seat every Sunday. And if, you know, you would be very uncomfortable if I said, all right, I want everybody to get up and I want you to go to the other side of the church. And you get over there and you think, ooh, this feels weird. I don't think I like this. And we don't like change. But listen, growth only comes by making changes. Now, there are some things that we establish in our lives that we hold on forever. Those are the good principles. But there's many things in our lives, and honestly, folks, we are our own worst enemies. So, as we examine our lives, then we have to be willing to make some changes in our lives. And this is not something that you just can keep private. See, first of all, you have to be honest with yourself. And then you have to be honest with God. And then you have to be willing to confess your faults. See, the New Testament says to confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. So there's a spiritual principle in here that if I can find someone that I can get real with. And you just can't do this with everybody. I mean, you don't want to find the town gossip to confess your faults to. Can I get a witness? You know, it's not telegraph, telephone, telemable. You know, that you don't want to find Mabel that's the telemabel that tells everything that she knows. No, you want to find somebody that you can trust, that you can be honest and open with. You may be struggling in an area of your life. And I can say, Jim, I'm struggling with so-and-so. I need you to ask me some questions. I need you to keep me accountable. See, that's how we begin to make changes in our lives. As we openly examine our hearts, our lives, we challenge ourselves, we're honest with God. See, David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Well, God already knew his heart. He was just saying, God, I want you to do that. He was being open and honest with God. Okay, today we're going to talk about some things. And we want to learn how that we can cooperate with the changes that God wants to do in our lives. So So today we're going to talk about how do we begin to make these changes. And this is the principle that we're going to talk about. And I'm going to give you seven things, and I got to go really, really fast, okay? So we're going to make some changes. And our scripture today is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to His service and pleasing to Him, and let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. See, the mind is so important in this process. This is written to believers. Your spirit's already right with God. See, when you get saved, it's your spirit that's born again. It's not your soul, it's your spirit that's born again. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. And the next thing that has to happen with your soul, your mind, it has to be renewed. It has to be transformed by the Word of God. So that's what this verse is about. He says, offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to His service and pleasing to Him, and let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. See, religion wants to transform people from the outside. See, what you need to do is cut your hair. You need to quit smoking, drinking, dipping. You need to quit. You need to don't. Well, hopefully the end result of all of this will be that as you're transformed from the inside out, those things just begin falling off of you. The bad habits begin just falling away. See, this is not willpower that we're talking about. And we'll get to that in a minute. So we're learning to deal with these character defects. And so we have to ask ourselves the questions. Where do they come from? Where do defects of character come from? They come from three places. Number one is genetics. We are genetically predisposed to certain things, like your temperament. You know, some people are just naturally strong-willed. It's in their DNA. Okay? But our problem is that we focus that in the wrong direction. But even though that you're predisposed towards some things, do not excuse the sin that comes along with that. See, you make the choices on how you use it. Being strong will can be an asset. But in many cases, when we become selfish, being strong will, we get into sin. Having a generous heart or a different personality type. See, there are always the negatives because we don't manage those things the way that we ought to, because we try to keep control of our lives rather than learning to submit those things to God. So genetics is one. Another one is circumstances or the environment in which you were raised. We are all shaped by the environment in which we were raised. Now, that does not give us an excuse not to overcome. Now, most of us have had some good things that have happened to us in our lives. There's good circumstances and bad circumstances. And whether we like to admit it or not, we have all been affected, good and bad, by those circumstances. So, the nurturing. And so, but listen, I don't care where you have come from. I don't care what your experience has been, your negative experiences. You don't have to be permanently defined by those negative circumstances. You can overcome those negative circumstances. And see, this, what we're talking about, will help you do that. But many times you have to recognize those things. See, there's such a things as father wounds and mother wounds and peer wounds. And there are bad experiences that some people have been abused. And that has been their circumstance. But listen, that circumstance does not have to permanently define who you are. You can overcome that. Glory. Glory, glory, glory. Thank God. And then the third one is my choices. We're talking about genetics, circumstance, and choice. Chromosomes, circumstances and choices. We all make choices every day. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. So that many times plays into our defects of character. So what we want to do is ask God to remove those defects of character in our lives. See, one of the strongest things that God gave us was a will to choose. And you can choose Him or you can choose not Him. And even as a believer, you can choose to let Him work in your life or you can choose to keep Him at arm's length. He will honor that. Now, He's always at work trying to perform that which He started in you. He's always at work. The Holy Spirit will never give up on you as long as you're alive. I want you to know that. And when you resist God, you will become miserable as a believer. You'll become miserable. You won't be happy. The only way that you can truly be happy is knowing Him, loving Him, and letting the design for which you were created come out in your life. You will be totally fulfilled with what He wants to do. But you got to let Him. So you have to be honest enough in your walk with Him that you say, Lord, I want You to change me. And I know that, Lord, this will be uncomfortable, but I want to be changed. Now, why is it so hard to change? Well, number one is because you've had these defects of character for so long. That's one reason. And another reason is because you identify with it. And in fact, many people say, well, that's just the way that I am. That's just the way that I am. And it's a defect of character. But we don't have to, when you say that, you're identifying with your defects. And that is fatal. And sometimes it's so hard to change it because these defects have a payoff. Number one, they mask our pain. They give me an excuse to fail. It allows me to compensate for the guilt in my life. Or I can use it to get attention, or I can use it to control other people. Sometimes people use these things to be in control. These are dead-end streets. And another reason that it's hard to change sometimes is because Satan is always there to discourage us. You know, you do have an enemy, don't you? How many of you know the devil's not your friend? Is there really a devil? Yeah, there's really a devil. And he hates you. And his job is to kill, steal, and destroy. He'll steal your joy if you'll let him. He will discourage you. Now, very quickly, I want to give you 7 things to help you cooperate with God's change process. Now, we're not going to do prayer time today. About every week, we do prayer time. And here's the reason we're not doing prayer time today. Is because usually the way that we want to change is to come up and be prayed for and God make everything go away. But what I'm talking about today is called the change process. We don't like process. We want to come up, let them lay hands on us, knock us in the floor, and we get up and we're all good. Now I'm ready to go. That's not the way it works. Now I do know that God can work miracles. I do know that God can heal instantaneous. We prayed for a guy one time who had a drug addiction. He was set free instantly. But that don't always happen that way. Why didn't it happen that way every time? Because many times, unless the behavior is changed, you go right back to the thing that got you in bondage. Until the thinking is changed, you go right back to that bad behavior. So Many times the reason that it's a process is because that each step that you take in this thing, not only is your problem being solved, but God is changing you on the inside. From the inside to the outside. If we just try to do it on the outside, all we do is put a coat of paint on the outside to make it look better, but the inside hasn't changed. God works from the inside out. Religion from the outside in. Real, true, spiritual, biblical spirituality is from the inside to the outside. So quickly, I want to give you seven things on how to cooperate with God's change process. See, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. Number one, focus on changing one defect at a time. Can I give you a little secret? You have more than one defect. You have more than one defect.
Not me.
Yeah, you. See, I know you got two. If you said not me, that's one right there. You lie to yourself. Okay. So we focus on changing one defect at a time. I like Proverbs 17:24. An intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. I like the old saying, he who chases two rabbits catches neither. You have to focus on one defect at a time. You have to focus on one goal at a time. See, this change process, I've got good news and bad news. You can be well. You can be totally well. But here's the bad news. It's going to take most of your life. It's going to be an ongoing process. It's not an event. It's a process. We like events. We don't like processes. We like to be there now. We like everything instant. Instant potatoes. We like to nuke our food. We don't like to wait. God's way is slower than we like, but it is better. Okay? So it's one defect at a time. One defect at a time. Number two, focus on victory one day at a time. Focus on victory. A lot of people focus on the problem. We need to focus on victory. The scripture tells us. It tells us in Matthew 6:34, it says, don't worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough troubles of its own. See, we're thinking about tomorrow. Think about today. Focus on victory one day at a time. Number three, focus on God's power, not willpower. Willpower will not change your heart. God's power will change your heart. See, one of the great things that God gave us is His power. And power comes to us two ways. See, the Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And number two, the Holy Spirit is the power of God. And that's why we got you in your Bibles. How many of you being faithful to reading your Bibles? We're not going to be long till we're going to be in the New Testament, praise God. Another 30 days and you should be in the New Testament. We'll be through with all that judgment and woe, and we'll be getting into Jesus coming. That'll be good. But we have to. The power of God is the gospel of God, and it is the Holy Spirit. And I love what this says in Jeremiah 12:23. It says, can a leopard take away his spots? Nor can you who are used to doing evil now start being good. But Philippians 4:13 says, I can master anything with the help of Christ who gives me strength. You can't change you. But if you will learn to tap into His power, His power can transform you. And it comes through the Word of God, and it comes through the working of the Holy Spirit in accordance to that Word of God. It is ongoing. How often do you need to be working on this? How often do you need to be putting the Word in your heart? See, David said, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." Every day. Every day. You need that ongoing in your life. Now, the fourth thing is focus on what I want, not what I don't want. Let's focus on the positive, not the negative. We're always focusing on the negative. If you listen to religion, it has a tendency to be so negative. Our natural tendency as human beings is to be negative and to focus on the negative. But we need to learn to focus on what we want, not what we don't want. And here's the verse that goes with that. Philippians 4:8. Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Think about things that are pure. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about. See, the way to change the heart or the mind is to begin to think like God thinks. We don't naturally think like God thinks. See, God said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways." But we can make His thoughts our thoughts if we'll put His Word on the inside of us. And then when a problem comes, we'll start. Now, the Word says what? The Holy Spirit will bring it to your mind. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But listen, if you're not putting anything in there, the Holy Spirit doesn't have anything to work on. All right. Number five, focus on doing good, not feeling good. We put so much emphasis on feelings. Feelings are fickle. Work on doing good, not feeling good. Number six, focus on people who can help me, not hinder me. Sometimes, and we tell people this all the time, especially in our Celebrate Recovery, you have to get away from the old crowd that drags you down, because they will drag you right back into your addiction. And let me say the same thing to you who are not addicted, okay? Many times, we have to disassociate with people who drag us down. And we need to concentrate on people who build us up. See, I think there's two kinds of people that you need in your life. You need people who are mentoring you, and then you need people in your life who you are mentoring. See, in that way, you're receiving and you're giving. That's a good thing. So we need to focus on people that can help us and not people who can hurt us all the time. And that's difficult, because sometimes you have to get away from your loved ones. You have to get away from your best friends. When I became a Christian, there was a period of time in my life that I didn't hang around anybody, because the crowd that I used to hang around with liked to chase girls. I didn't need to chase girls anymore. I never was a drinker, but they liked to drink. I didn't need to be around that. I didn't need to be around that influence. I wasn't trying to be a snob. I wasn't trying to be holier than thou. I was trying to grow as a Christian. So I had to find me some friends who were Christians, and so that I could have that fellowship, that we had some things in common, so that we could begin to grow together. So sometimes you have to focus on people who can help me and not hinder me. And here's a good one. Get this one. Focus on progress, not perfection. In fact, one of our character defaults many times is that we're perfectionists. Listen, let me just tell you, you're probably never going to be perfect, Dennis, in this life. I don't know if you knew that or not, but you're probably, and Gail says that is true. He's never, because she said he's a long way from it. No, you're not going to be perfect in this life. I'm picking at Dennis. You're not going to be perfect. Don't concentrate on perfection. Concentrate on progress. That helps us to progress. And you got to know that this is a lifetime commitment. Philippians 1:6, God who began the good work within you will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until his task with you is finally finished. So there are seven things that will help you help God overcome your character defects. Write those down. Think about those. Concentrate on those. And you can begin to make the changes in your life that need to be made. Let's stand. I want to pray over you. I went over 5 minutes. Will you forgive me? Maybe the workers back, they hate it when I go over because it throws their schedule off. So we have to have a quick turnaround here because last week we had 160 in the first service and 368 in the second service. So we had 528 people here last week. So we have to have time to turn this thing around so people can get in and out. So let me pray for you real quick. Father, thank you so much, first of all, that you're our God, that you love us, you care about us, you want to help us. And Lord, continually to teach us how to cooperate with what you want to do. Lord, you want to do great things in our lives. And Lord God, today we want you to do that. Help us to surrender to you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Go out and be an influence this week.